One of the words that Dan Brown introduces us to in the novel is a fabulous word from the Hopi Native Americans, Koyaanisqatsi, which means life out of balance. What a fabulous word. And that has such a resonance with people. When he says in his novel, there's a lack of Koyaanisqatsi, that life is out of balance, people say, yes, it is, isn't it? Just look around and see how out of balance life really is. And goddess spirituality is an expression of paganism, which is all about recovering that balance. Here is a definition of the goddess from the website of Covenant of the Goddess. That's a Wiccan group. And they define the goddess as the immanent life force, as Mother Nature, the earth, the cosmos, the interconnectedness of all life. In other words, when Dan Brown's talking about the goddess, he's not talking about God, goddess, as two divine beings. The goddess in this thinking is the whole of existence. Everything is the goddess. It's pantheism. Here is Starhawk, one of the leaders of goddess spirituality movement. She's another Wiccan. She says, the goddess does not rule the world. She is the world. Or how about this Australian website about goddess spirituality? By honoring the feminine divine, we reconnect with our inner goddess. We empower ourselves spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, and physically, so our true selves are set free. If you go to that website, you can find your goddess of the day and just what particular bits of the goddess you need to reconnect with in your own life. It's not just for women either, although that site is very targeted at women. As Robert Langdon demonstrates, goddess spirituality is something for all of us because life is out of balance for men as well as women. It's an interest he shares with Jacques Saunière, of course. Both of them are very committed to goddess spirituality. The goddess is quite simply the embodiment of the divine in a female body. Not one particular female body, but any female who chooses to turn her back on the warrior within her and embrace the goddess. She is discerning and acts with integrity. She has a core of inner peace that is unshakable. The goddess radiates an energy that is so powerfully beautiful, loving and soft that others are drawn to her like a magnet. Isn't that what you want? It's very appealing, isn't it? It's no wonder that Dan Brown has found such resonance when there is this incredibly appealing spiritual idea that's out there. And so he finishes up the novel with Dan Brown falling to his knees at what he has worked out as the burial place of the bones of Mary Magdalene, overcome by reverence. And the last words of the novel, a woman's voice, the wisdom of the ages, whispering up from the chasms of the earth. It's very spiritual and very anticlimactic. And it's just, the whole novel fizzles away really, doesn't it? But it does show where Dan Brown is leading to, this focus on the sacred feminine. But he bases it all on a story of ancient goddess worship for which there is no evidence. He tells the story within the novel of a golden age within Europe, many centuries, millennia ago rather, where it was a matriarchal world, people lived in harmony and peace, and it was only once gods started to be worshipped at the expense of the goddess that violence and warfare came. He's not the first one to trot this out. He's basing his writing on the writings of many other people, including Margaret Starbird. But there is simply no good evidence for this matriarchal golden age. Yes, we find little goddess models in ancient civilizations within Europe. But the archaeological evidence is so thin that actually you're putting an awful lot of speculation on those little idols to construct a whole matriarchal society from it. So the evidence isn't there. Besides which, those cultures that do worship the goddess were, and those that that are now, are still in many ways male-dominated, rather than places of equality and real honouring of the feminine, as Dan Brown claims. He talks quite a bit about Eros Gamos, this sacred union, sex rite. But in the ancient world, Eros Gamos was a means of men achieving spiritual fulfilment. It was primarily for them, not for the women. Dan Brown actually has this in his book, though he doesn't draw any attention to it, of course. Historically, says Robert Langdon, intercourse was the act through which male and female experienced God. The ancients believed that the male was spiritually incomplete until he had carnal knowledge of the sacred feminine. Physical union with a female remained the sole means through which man could become spiritually complete and ultimately achieve gnosis, knowledge of the divine. Since the days of Isis, sex rites have been considered man's only bridge from earth to heaven. By communing with woman, Langdon said, man could achieve a climactic instant when his mind went totally blank and he could see God. Well, that's one way of talking about it, I suppose. He mentions hierodules, these sacred prostitutes. He even alleges that they were present in the temple of the Old Testament, the temple of the people of God in Jerusalem, which is a completely unfounded statement. But hierodules, are sacred slaves, ritual prostitutes. In 1st century Corinth, there are 12 temples dedicated to the goddess. And in just the temple of Aphrodite alone, there were 1,000 slaves as prostitutes. 1,000 slaves working as ritual prostitutes. And this, he says, is honoring the sacred feminine. 1,000 prostitutes for men to achieve their spiritual fulfillment. I don't see how that's honoring the sacred feminine at all. That is simply a way of men perpetuating a system that works to their advantage. The reality about Christianity and women is not at all as Dan Brown presents it. This quote comes from the Rough Guide to the Da Vinci Code. Not a Christian book at all, quite a balanced little book in many ways, all sorts of useful stuff in there. Here's its verdict on the view of Christianity towards women down through history. In reality, the writers say Christianity was a largely liberating influence on women's lives. For the everyday truth about women in pagan societies was that their worth was judged almost exclusively on their success as sexual and reproductive beings. This gave women importance and authority within the domestic sphere, but it was Christianity which opened up horizons of new promise, and women were not behind in seeking out established roles. Yes, the church has not got it right with women again and again through its history, but it has also been the church which in every age of history has led the way in giving women a much more honoured place within society than they would have found in pagan society. What's ironic is that Dan Brown refers to the Gnostic Gospels, the Gospels found at various other documents found at Nag Hammadi in Egypt, and says that they show this reverence for the sacred feminine. But actually within the Gnostic Gospels, they don't like women, and sex is viewed as a very appalling thing in the Gospel of Philip, which Brown refers to. One of the other things on this, just in passing, is that Dan Brown alleges that 50 million witches were killed at the hands of the church. But in actual fact, the reality, according to virtually all scholars now, is that it was about 150 to 300 a year, over a period of 300 years, right across Europe. That's not quite the genocide that Dan Brown presents, is it? It is, nevertheless, appalling. That still gives you a figure of 45 to 90,000 killed over 300 years. It is still an appalling thing to have happened, but it is nothing like Dan Brown says it is. This quote is from Hugh Trevor Roper, who is a historian of this period of history, and he wrote this quite a number of years now ago. He says, in general, the established church was opposed to the persecution. The scholars of this period of history recognize that the church wasn't driving this persecution of witches at all. In fact, the Inquisition in many ways was set up not to further the trying of witches and the killing of witches, but to bring some restraint to the whole process. Because the vast majority of these people who were killed were actually tried by secular courts, not church courts, and they were based on charges brought by other women, not by the priests. The historical evidence is there, if you bother to look. But Dan Brown just trots out a widely accepted myth within our society.